Welcome you this morning, and it's so nice to see that it is not snowing.
Yes.
Well, we'll take what we got right now. The announcements are in the bulletin. I just want to highlight the fact that we do have church council today. But Bill, you have an announcement also.
So a little mismitigation. The call committee is not meeting today. However, church council is meeting. I don't think Dean could handle two meetings on a Sunday afternoon.
At the same time.
Actually, he could. But in all seriousness, where we're at with the call process is our church council is meeting today to talk about compensation for our future new pastor. And UCC's church council is also meeting today for that same reason. Next Sunday, the councils will come together collectively to have what should be a very exciting conversation about what that might look like for our new pastor. The joint call committee then will meet on the 22nd. Is that right, Dean? Yes, the following Sunday, March 22nd. And we'll see where we are, and we'll get things submitted both to the UCC conference, to the Rocky Mountain Synod, and we'll continue prayerfully down this process. We appreciate keeping all of this in your prayers daily for this process and for whoever that name is that God has intended for St. Luke's and for the UCC Church. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then we're still having the pie fundraiser for camp, but now the orders are due by April 5th, and there's still $10 a piece of apple, chocolate, key lime, and cherry jubilee. The pie pickup will be April 11th at 2 p.m.
Okay, there's still $10, but yes. Getting closer to the 5th, they might go up, huh?
No.
Hadn't thought that one through, huh? All right. Wednesday, there is no choir. For all of those who are hoping that they could join the choir, just remind you that we're not having it. But the Bells and the Youth Night will still meet, and the Soup Supper is at the Union Congregational Church at 6, with the worship service at 7. And let's see, on the 15th, see, that's next week already, we'll have a gathering of those who are interested in joining the church, and that will be at 3 p.m. This coming Saturday at 10 o'clock, we'll have a memorial service for Joe Wenzel, George Wenzel's brother. So please keep that in mind and keep them in your prayers. And Dean, I think you had an announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As part of our church stewardship, which includes our time and our talent, and our offering, we have a chance to help our church and our Lord with Meals on Wheels. So I'm looking for volunteers. We have a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall, and we're looking for two routes, which should be about four people, two people per route. So a route on Monday, two routes on Monday, two routes on Wednesday, and two routes on Friday of April. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Once you sign up, I need everything in by the last Sunday of the month, of this month, so I can get it to the Habitat, or excuse me, to the Meals on Wheels, the coordinator, and then I will give you more information on when to be there and what to expect and so forth. So I hope we've got already some volunteers on the list. I know others are going to sign up, but if you are new, feel free to give me your name or put your name down, and we'll help those that haven't done it before. It is a very rewarding opportunity.
They get a free meal too that day.
That's true. Any questions?
Way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Are there other announcements? Yes?
I'd like to make one. I don't know if everybody knows about the flower sign-up, but we like to have flowers
Sundays, and you can just order through the Posey Patch, and they'll set it up as we, so there's sign-ups there. You can, I like to do a sign-up for, like, my own birthday or give Nels flowers on our anniversary, so I give them through the church if you like that idea. So just a reminder, you might want to take a look at that calendar, too.
Very good. Any others? Well, welcome to all of our visitors. We're happy that you're here, too. Glad you're part of our worship again. Good to see you. If there are no other announcements, let's stand as we're able and turn to the Thanksgiving for Baptism, which is in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight.
Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family.
Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom.
At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit.
By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all.
We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all we praise you for the gift of new life.
Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hymn number 451.
Christ Jesus, we are baptized in his death. That is Christ, his grace victorious, we might live a brand new life. And if we have been united in a dreadful death like his, we will all be reunited, for he lives. Water and the witness in the breaking of the bread, in the waiting arms of Jesus, who is risen from the dead. God has made a new beginning from the ashes of our past, in the losing and the Holy Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, glory now resounds again in a song that has no ending.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and hear our solemn prayer. We come to hear your living word. It saves us. Despair.
That by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First reading is from the 12th chapter of Genesis. God's call of Abram and Sarai has a clear purpose, that through them all the families of the earth would gain a blessing. As they set out their journey, they are accompanied by promises of land, nation, and a great reputation. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read responsively Psalm 121 in the back of your bulletin. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day,
Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore.
The second reading is from the fourth chapter of Romans. In the person and example of Abraham, we discover that a right relationship with God does not involve earning a reward from God, but entails trusting God's promises. Abraham is the forebear and the model for both Jews and Gentiles, because we too trust that ours is a God who gives life to the dead. What then are we to say was gained by What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promises may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We are turning. You are merciful and kind, slow to anger, rich in blessing, and with love to us inclined.
I've asked Dean and Chris to help with the reading of the gospel this morning. Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A curious Pharisee visits Jesus by night to learn from the teacher his friends rejected. Jesus speaks to him about life in the Spirit and the kingdom of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him,
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.
Jesus answered him,
Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.
Nicodemus said to him,
How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into mother's womb and be born?
Jesus answered,
Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Nicodemus said to him,
How can these things be?
Jesus answered him,
Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven and the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, what whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Invite the children to come up. I have an assignment for you. How good are you at art? Can you draw pictures? Could you? Well, what I want you to do is draw me a picture of God. What does God look like? If we're drawing a picture, how are you going to draw a picture of God? Well, yeah, he died, but how are you going to draw a picture? By praying, that'll help you find the right picture? Yeah? What kind of things do you think make God different from everybody else? Has anybody seen God? No. So how can we draw a picture of Jesus, of God? We know he's powerful, yeah. Maybe we could make him look like a volcano. No, that doesn't. Need something else powerful, or maybe a G-Man or one of those action figures. No, that doesn't work either. Well, Jesus was God's Son, and you all have a father, right? And a mother. Do you look anything like them? Maybe a little, yeah. You look like them. So if we drew a picture of Jesus, that might be easier, wouldn't it? And what are some things that Jesus did? Yeah, he takes care of us. He loves us. He forgave our sins. How did he do that? What did he do? He died on the cross, right? He died on the cross so we could draw a picture of a cross. And it wouldn't be a picture of God, but it would be a picture that would help us remember God, wouldn't it? So since we can't see God's face, and actually, nobody really knows what Jesus looked like, do they? They don't have any, no, there were no photographers around then. So artists have drawn pictures of God, of Jesus, but the cross helps us remember what Jesus stands for. And that is what God stands for too, right? The cross tells us we've been forgiven. Shall we thank God for that? Thank you, God, for calling us to be your children, for helping us to look a little bit like you too, especially when we do your will. Bless us today so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. When I was in seminary, a friend of mine asked me to help him with a youth group that he was working with in one of the churches on the north side of Minneapolis. And it was one of my weaker moments when I said yes, because what I was supposed to do was dress up like a tramp, a bum. And they provided me with this ugly overcoat. And I had a sweatshirt with a hood that covered some of my face. And they gave me this cap that covered the rest of it. So all I could see was through this little slit. But what I was to do was to carry a cross in front of the entrance to the church. So for a half hour before the service started, I walked all the way to the end of the church property, turned around, and I walked all the way back over and over again for a half hour. You know, it's amazing what people will say. And I could overhear them saying things like, "Why did they go protest someplace else?" Or, "What's that bum doing at our church?" Things like that. Well, that was just the beginning. At the end of when the bells rang and the church started, I went in the back, in the narthex back there, stood back there. The ushers looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" Because they didn't know what was going on. Now, I should say, across the street, the kids who were doing this special program had set up a video camera. And they were filming this for a commercial on TV. So I'm in the back of the church waiting, and when the pastor, this is when the announcements, remember, were somewhere around the time of the reading of one of the lessons, back in the ancient days, remember those? Anyway, the pastor was just beginning the announcements, and I came down the aisle very slowly, carrying my cross. And the pastor knew what was going on, but he acted like he didn't, and he just stopped with his mouth open, watching me come all the way down to the front of the church. And when I got there, I laid the cross on the steps and then left. They were advertising the fact that they were going to show a movie that had to do with carrying your cross. And what I discovered in this whole thing was, I don't like to carry a cross. Just plain and simple. I don't. And it also reminded me that I don't always like to act like Jesus. How many of you have crosses on as jewelry this morning? Yeah, a few people. Yeah. Have you been acting like Jesus since you got the cross? Yeah, but that's something to think about. If we're going to wear a cross, we need to act like Jesus would act. To love like Jesus would love. To care for people. And to love them and bring healing to them. A 17th century scholar by the name of Meridus was in exile from France, and where he was staying, he got very, very sick. And they took him to the hospital. Well, the ambulance drivers, this is 17th century, looked at him, and he looked like a tramp. He looked like he was poor and indigent. So they took him to what they called the pauper's hospital. Now, that was the hospital they had for the poor, which gave minimal care for anybody. It was more of a place to go, to die. Well, the doctors examined him, and they began to discuss him while he was laying there in Latin, figuring this guy wouldn't have a clue what Latin was. And one of the doctors said, "Let's do some experiments on this worthless creature." And Meridus, in perfect Latin, said, "Do not call one for whom Christ died worthless." It's something we have to keep in mind, you know, when we think about carrying the cross, about being like Jesus, about doing what Jesus calls us to be. That we are not worthless. Abraham thought he was worthless. In the gospel, in the book of Genesis, we're told that he was a wandering Aramean, meaning that he was a shepherd who just went from one place to the other with his sheep, really never amounting to anything. But in that day, in order to be of any worth to his neighbors or even to himself, he had to have kids. Because this was an area in which they worshipped the moon god. To worship the moon god, you had to offer one of your children as a sacrifice. And since he couldn't offer a child for sacrifice, as far as his neighbors were concerned, he was worthless too. But God speaks to him in that time and says, Abraham, I will bless you so that you may bless others. I will make you the father of many nations. Of course, we've read the stories of how Abraham argues about, God, how can you do that? I don't even have any kids. But God had promised him a son, and he has that son. Now, we know also the part of the story where he takes that son, Isaac, up on the mountain and almost offers him as a sacrifice. Now, those of you who've been in the Bible study have seen the pictures I showed of the Temple Mount. And if any of you have ever seen it, it's that big golden dome, the thing on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Under that is the rock on which Abraham is said to have almost sacrificed his son. It's also the one the Muslims claim Muhammad ascended and descended from heaven on. So that rock played an important role. But Paul, in his letter to the Romans, reminds us that God counted Abraham's faith, Abraham's willingness to do what God said, even in the light of all the evidence saying no, he was worthless. He accepted what God said, and that was counted for him as righteousness. Wow. Abraham is told, I will bless you so that you may be a blessing. One of the problems that the people of God had from the time of Abraham on, and even today, and it has flowed right into the Christian church too, and that is, we remember the first part, but we forget the second. God said, I will bless you in order that you may be a blessing. As this song, and if you've heard me sing this before, sing along when you feel like it. We are blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. God our Creator and God our Provider continues to care for us, blesses us every day. Yes, we're blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. Baptized and claimed are we, truly God names us the children of God, like the Son of the Father above. Yes, we're blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. We live as children of God, we're a covenant people, a people of promise, of promise and hope. We are blessed to bless, and we must confess that our joy is not complete if we don't repeat the good news everywhere. God, our Creator and God, our Provider, continues to care for us, blesses us every day. We are blessed to be a blessing. So, here's the deal. As blessed as we are, if we don't share that good news, if ever a week goes by when we don't invite someone to worship, someone to be part of our fellowship, then we've missed a part of what God has promised us. We are called to be blessings to others, not just for ourselves. There's a story about a Tennessee farmer. He was an older guy, and he wanted to join the Civil War. All he had to take with him was his old squirrel gun. Wasn't much of a gun, but it would shoot down a squirrel here or there. His problem was he couldn't keep straight the various bugle calls. So they're all fighting, and there's fire coming at them, and it's coming pretty furiously, and somebody blows the bugle. It was the bugle call to retreat, but he thought it was the one to attack, and he charged right into the woods and disappeared for a little while, and pretty soon he came back over the ridge with a prisoner right in front of him. One of his comrades said, "Where did you get him?" He said, "Oh, the woods is full of them. Go get yourself one." Well, I'm here to tell you, the woods is full of them. Buffalo is full of... Do you know how many unchurched people there are in this community? Wow. Why, we could fill this place three times over. And if you think about it, look around, we probably only have about a third of the congregation here this morning anyway. So we got lots of space for them. So remember that. The woods is full of them. The mountains are full of them. The town is full of them. Go get yourself one. Now, if it feels like I'm twisting your arm, I am. Because I don't need to make any bones about it. Jesus does that in the gospel today. Jesus is confronted by Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is a person who is really intelligent. He has studied the law. He has taught the law. He knows the law. But he's also seen Jesus in action. He's also heard Jesus preaching. And he's fascinated by what Jesus says, but some of it doesn't compute with what he has learned, because he has learned that the only way you get to heaven is by keeping every single law perfectly, every day. And he knows that isn't very possible. So he's hoping that Jesus can give him some new insight. And Jesus does. You need to be born of the Spirit, which seemed a little strange to him. But Jesus compares it to the wind. Most of us know what that wind is like. We've felt it. We've heard it. But do you know where it came from?
Casey.
You know where? Well, oh, where?
Casey.
Casey? Oh, yeah. Sometimes it does come from down there. Or Sheldon. Sheridan, rather. In the town of Sheldon in Iowa. But Jesus says, that's the way the Spirit works. In a way you can never predict. Because Nicodemus is of the opinion that God hates sin. And because God hates sin, he hates the sinner. And that's when Jesus lets him have the best gospel of all. The one every one of us should have right up here and right in here. God doesn't hate the sinner. God loves the sinner so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might have life through him. There's an article by Robert Raines that I thought said a great deal, not only for me, but also for you, because it describes the way in which the Holy Spirit has grabbed a hold of me many, many times. Sometime it's going to hold. But the Holy Spirit is also trying to get through to you in your heart every single day. Right, Rains writes, a call may come as a nudge, a glimpse, a touch, a glance, fresh insight, or tearing sorrow. It may come in the earthquake of anger, grief, or the still small voice. However it comes, the initiative of an alien or friendly power strikes us with surprise and disruption. I was taken by the scruff of my life and shaken loose from the securities and identities that had served me or that I had served for 50 years. I was mugged in the night by a strange assailant who was God. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And he is saying the same thing that he said to Abraham. I will bless you so that you can bless others. There's lots of them out there in the woods. Just go get you a couple. He's also saying, remember, God really does love you. Love you enough to give his own son to die for you. As we look to the future, we look with hope and with the promise that God has already called us, called St. Luke's, to be his body here in Buffalo. And as such, he won't let us down. Because with that comes the promise that he will be with us always, even to the end of the earth. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. your attention to the second verse of that hymn again. Fear not, I am with you, God says. Be not dismayed, for I am your God and will give you your aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That's God's promise. Let us profess our faith in the Apostles' Creed you have printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Are there people you'd like to add to our prayers?
Francis and
Alice.
Carmine.
God of rebirth, empower your church throughout the world to be a voice of hope for those who fear judgment or condemnation. Assure us of your faithfulness and give us confidence to proclaim your salvation for all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, your Spirit hovered over the waters and you called creation into being. Nurture and bless all signs of rebirth around us, budding trees and new shoots, thawing lakes and warm breezes, and animals awaking from hibernation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, lead the nations in your way of righteousness. Protect those who advocate for the needs of children, migrants, and victims of violence. Give courage to lawmakers, lawyers, judges, and law enforcement officers, guiding them to do justice and to love mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, give us a new vision of your healing power among us. Restore hope to those who remain in the depths of depression or despair. Bring mercy and relief to those who are injured, sick, or suffering. Today we pray especially for Nancy Wagoner, Alice, Carmine, and others we name in our hearts before you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rebirth, we thank you for the children of this community and for the people and ministries that care for them. Bless new and expectant parents. Console those who have lost children, and those whose desire for children remains unfulfilled. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, you encourage us through strong communities of faith. Open our hearts and minds to new people and ideas. May we trust in your endless mercy and grace, asking that you give a double measure of your to our joint call committee, to Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bierke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagel. Bless also our church council with your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And for those who are concerned about the virus, there's always the elbow.
Free goodness, and bless us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. So with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember his life, his death, and especially his words the night he was betrayed. We know he came to rescue us. A baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for you and me. Sins would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. So every breath you drew was yes and alleluia.
Alleluia.
Said, this is my body given for you. And he took the cup and raised it high and said, my blood is shed for you. Forgive and remember me. Oh, hallelujah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Lamb of God, you bear the sin.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread and life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fountain, where the healing water.
Peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.